UTC, and that means... It's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh, golly. This app is having a little bit of trouble today. Ooh, I'm hearing a jet fly pretty close by. It's up very high, but I can hear it flying right past the sun, I think, looking for it. We don't have a lot of clouds, and it's cloudy, but it's scattered. There's a bunch of blue in the sky. But anyway, I can't see it, so it doesn't matter. Welcome, one and all. It is 1903 UTC. On a beautiful Wednesday, May the 17th, May the 17th, 2023. You're listening to Non Radio, powered by SDF. SDF's powered by you, so thank you for being here. And, it's 29 degrees right now here in beautiful Austin. I'm making my way to the shade so I can see my screen. Because the sun, when it's bright like this, I can't see my screen. There we go. Now I can see it. Let's jump into comm. All you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org. You can't go in through that way. They're going to find out. Sdf.org. And then once you're there, launch comm. Just type COM. You press G for go to. And then type a non-radio. All lowercase. All one word. Boom. You'll be in the non-radio room. Hanging out with cool people like Stug and Ratsu. And Stung, Ratsu, me, X1, all people that are hanging out there. We got a lot of idlers out there. We 44 people in the room at one time. So, plenty of people. Hello. I've never been able to go into the garage through that way. These people just did. I'm jealous. That's one of the things you learn is, as time goes on, I guess. not all doors that are closed to you are closed to all. So anyway, welcome. Let's get into some news. There's a lot going on in the world, and, that's what we're here for. So let's go ahead here, jump over into our bookmarks. We go bookmarks, desktop bookmarks. And bookmarks menu. News to me. We don't have it synced yet. Let's go ahead and tell it to sync. And while it's syncing, that's why, because it crashed. Firefox likes to crash lately. At home, Firefox loses DNS, so I have to quit it and then restart it, and then my DNS comes back. It's a little frustrating. Let's go over to settings. Sync now. All right, now we're syncing. What a wonderful day. It's pretty nice outside. Alrighty, there we go. Boomp, boomp. Alright, we synced. So now if we go back to our bookmarks, we should... Boop, boop, boop. There we go, May 17th. Alrighty, so let's get going. First, the death and destruction in our world news. At least 8 dead in North Italy. Grand Prix has been postponed. At least 8 people have died and thousands have been evacuated as torrential rains battered northern Italy's Emilia-Romagna region, triggering widespread flooding. The flooding caused the cancellation of the Formula One Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, which had been due to take place on Sunday. Civil Protection Minister Nello Musumeci
said some areas had received half their average annual rainfall in 36 hours, causing rivers to burst their banks, sending water cascading through towns and submerging thousands of acres of farmland. Musumeci said about 50,000 people were without electricity. 8 bodies have been retrieved around the flood zone. The vice president of Emilia-Romagna, Irene Priolo, told reporters, adding that rains were easing, but river levels were still rising. The city is on its knees, devastated and in pain. That's such an Italian way to put it. The mayor of Forli, a city near Bologna, where 3 people had died. It's the end of the world. So the race has been postponed and there's a lot of flooding. At least 8 people are dead. Don't worry, there's more people dead. In Nigeria, there was an ambush and 4 people were killed on a U.S. convoy. Gunmen in southeastern Nigeria have attacked a U.S. convoy, killing 4 people. 2 of the victims on Tuesday's attack in the Anambra state were U.S. consulate employees, while the other 2 were police officers. The attackers kidnapped 3 other people and set their vehicle on fire. Washington says no U.S. citizens were in the convoy, which is traveling in the state plagued by violence and a separatist insurgency. Nigerian police say the attack happened in the Atani Osamali Road in Ogburu region. Police spokesperson DSP Ikinga Tochuwu says security forces were currently carrying out a rescue and recovery operation. So they were on the way to try to rescue some people and ended up getting kidnapped themselves. So that's what's going on there. Of course, this story would not be complete without a map. That's right, a map. So let's see if we can get it into COM here. We paste it, we hit enter, and we say map of Nigeria, not Bujeria, Nigeria. Oh, close enough. sdf.org/l/sx. That's sdf.org/lima/sierra-x-ray. sdf.org/l/sx. Let's see what's going on in COM. Hey, LCD, welcome, welcome. Stug makes a change from the heavy rain of the other day. Yes, indeed. The rain keeps changing. We were having crazy rain here, but now it's all a distant memory, at least until Saturday or Sunday. We're supposed to get more rain then, which is good, because we're usually supposed to have rain April and May, and we did not have much rain in April, so we need to catch up. And now, down to a death of 1, but this is a story about sexual assault, so just a word of warning here. If you're sensitive to that, you might want to tune out for a couple of minutes. A Mexican woman who killed a man defending herself when he attacked and raped her in 2021 was sentenced to more than 6 years in prison, a decision her legal defense called discriminatory and vowed to appeal. The ruling against Roxana Ruiz spurred anger from experts and feminist groups who said it speaks to the depths of gender-based violence and Mexico's poor record of bringing perpetrators of sexual violence to justice. It would be a bad precedent if this sentence were to hold. It's sending the message to women that, you know what, law says you can defend yourself, but only to a point, said Angel Carrera, her defense lawyer. He raped you, but you don't have the right to do anything. The Associated Press doesn't normally identify assault victims, but Ruiz has given her permission to be identified and participates in public demonstrations led by activists who support her. While the Mexico State Court found Monday that Ruiz had been raped, it said the 23-year-old was guilty of homicide with excessive use of legitimate defense. Excessive use of legitimate defense. Adding that hitting the man in the head would have been enough to defend herself. Ruiz was also ordered to pay more than $16,000 in reparations to the family of the man. In May 2021, Ruiz was working selling French fries in Nexcaudal, one of the 11 municipalities in Mexico State, with an ongoing gender alert for femicides and another one for forced disappearances of women. While having a beer with a friend, Ruiz, an indigenous Mixteca woman and a single mother from the state of Oaxaca, met a man she hadn't seen around the neighborhood. After hanging out, he offered to walk her home and later asked to stay the night because it was late and he was far from home. She let him sleep in the living room, but then she climbed on top of him, or he climbed on top of her. She fought back, hitting him in the nose. He threatened to kill her, and she killed him in self-defense. In a panic, Ruiz put the man's body in a bag and dragged it out to the street, where passing police arrested her. Despite telling police she'd been raped, Carrera said a forensic exam was never taken, the crucial step in prosecuting sexual violence cases. Instead, An officer responded that she probably wanted to have sex with the man at first and then changed her mind. So it's still terrible out there. If you're a woman, good luck. Everything seems stacked against you. It's really horrible out there. Let's go back to calm here. Claudium is still dealing with heavy rain in El Florida. So yeah, good luck, buddy. There's a lot of shit happening in Florida. We won't go into all of it. But we will keep on a rolling because it's not all fun and games. China fines comedy troupe $2 million for joke about the military. A Chinese comedy troupe has been slapped with a 14.7 million yuan fine, or 2.1 million US, 1.7 million pounds, over a joke about the military that invoked a slogan from President Xi Jinping. The quip, which likened the behavior of a comedian's dog to the military conduct, irked authorities. They said Shanghai Xiaogua Cultural Media Co. and comic Li Hao Shi had humiliated the People's Army. The company accepted the penalty and terminated Mr. Li's contract. The offending remark was made during a stand-up performance in Beijing on Saturday when Mr. Li alluded to two canines he'd adopted, which were chasing a squirrel. Other dogs, you see, would make you think they are adorable. These two dogs only remind me of fight to win. Forge exemplary conduct, said Mr. Li, whose stage name is House. The punchline is part of the slogan that President Xi unveiled in 2013 as a goal for the Chinese military. In an audio recording of the performance shared on China's Twitter platform Weibo, audience members can be heard laughing at the joke. It was much less welcome on the internet. After a member of the audience complained about it, Beijing authorities said they launched an investigation. They then confiscated 1.32 million yuan of what was deemed to be illegal income, and fined the company another 13.35 million yuan, according to Xinhua. So, yeah, pretty wild stuff, right? Stug points out, now that is being canceled. Howdy, Seashell. Welcome, welcome. CSH. Yeah, so that's how you get canceled. The government just shows up and says, no, you're fined. Any money you made from this is illegal. Pay up, pay up, pay up. Yep. Exactly. Ah, CSH has an analog telephone. Are you dialed in? I hope so. If you've got an analog phone, you can always dial into Open VoIP. Every day, there's two Open VoIP segments, one in the morning and one in the evening, to accommodate all time zones, because SDF is a global place. So, check it out. Go to anonradio.net, and you'll see the Open VoIP stuff. Okay, well, let's jump over to calm. CSH pointing out, when you text my number, it goes to my laptop. When you call, it goes to my analog telephone. Very cool, very cool. Alrighty. Well, I do want to remind you, now that we're about halfway through the show, at 19:14 UTC, that the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is a fun show that airs every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. Right here on and on radio. So you want to check that out. All you got to do is stay tuned and listen. Today being Wednesday, you can also press that equal sign to see what is coming up in the schedule. One of the cool things is that you too can be a host or take a spot if there's an empty spot in the schedule. Just email in. Just go to the nonradio.net site and the instructions are all right there. Today, we've got Cinesphere at 2100 hours and Special Ed at 0100, so technically tomorrow. Open VoIP, they'll be at 0200 tomorrow morning, followed by Open Mic and Dubious Goals repeat at 7:30. oh, nice. Very cool, CSH. I had an old clam phone, clamshell kind of phone for my home phone that was on one VoIP. But I switched to this Cisco desk phone because during the pandemic, I actually used it during work, too. So it was kind of fun. Super cool. Phones are fun. So this is a bit of big industry fear-mongering, but I thought if I at least let you know that it's fear-mongering, maybe we can all kind of learn from this. Here's what the Guardian is trying to say. They're trying to be neutral, but just by the fact of being a Western, based in the West and being a involved with who they're involved with, this clearly feels influenced. A ruling from Guyana's High Court could change the face of offshore drilling throughout the Caribbean, according to financial and legal analysts. The ruling ordered the country's Environmental Protection Agency to require an independent liability insurance policy from Esso Exploration and Production, Guyana Limited, and an unlimited guarantee from its parent company, ExxonMobil, in the case of any damage caused by the company's oil and gas development in the country. Huh. You mean a company would have to have insurance and or pay for any damage that it does to the local environment? That's unheard of. The $600 million insurance policy holds for Exxon's wholly owned subsidiary, ANCON UK Limited, and its $2 billion parent company guarantee is well below the potential cost of damages for a catastrophic event. However, BP has said it spent $69 billion to meet its obligations after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon spill. And that recently, there was a news story, all the people that were cleaning that up, guess what? They've got cancer, and they're trying to get any money from BP, and they're like, not our problem. The director of finance, the environmental impact assessment for the project in the Guyana case, the first of five Exxon well sites permitted there so far, found that a catastrophic well event could carry oil to 12 different islands. These are countries whose economies rely heavily on tourism and fishing. Damages could be in tens of billions or more. Justice Sandil Kisun ruled that it should be the company, not the country, that takes on the risk, and that the law is clear on the requirement. I remember it distinctly because I wrote the language myself, said Dr. Vincent Adams, the former head of Guyana's EPA. It says that insurance shall be reviewed by the agency on an annual or regular basis to ensure that it's of the right type, etc. And then the key is it says that there should has to be a parent company guarantee to cover everything over and above that insurance amount. Exxon Guyana's president, Alastair Rutledge, has made such assurances verbally, saying in an interview last year, there's no limit to what we would do to respond to an oil spill. So we'll see what's going on here. Let's see. International experts in the offshore industry also weighed in. A former U.S. Department of Interior engineer who consulted for the National Commission on the BP Horizon spill wrote, unlimited liability is a rather daunting and open-ended obligation that would trouble permittees in any industry. Since news of the ruling broke, Exxon's stock price has dropped more than $10, nearly a 12% decline. Meanwhile, environmental lawyers are looking to the case for inspiration. Lawyers from around the world who are fighting oil and gas off the coast of southern Africa, off Mozambique, and in other places in the Caribbean are going to be looking at this. So anyway, just a heads up there. oil and gas companies aren't your friends, no matter how much money they throw at you. And just don't forget that. Alrighty, well, what else is going on? Well, there's other energy news, that's for sure. Let me check the bookmarks and make sure I'm not skipping over any big death or destruction news. Oh, North Carolina has banned abortions after 12 weeks. The governor vetoed the law once it passed their Congress, but the state's legislative body was able to overrule the veto. So now you've got 12 weeks. Even less, really, in that state. Nicolas Sarkozy is supposed to wear an ankle bracelet, and Theranos' founder, Elizabeth Holmes, is set to go to prison. They ruled that she has to go to jail for a fraud conviction. She has to remain free while she fought against her jail sentence. She was sentenced to 11 years. After a jury found her guilty of defrauding investors. So she'll be locked up for a while. I don't know. It's one of the things. In the United States, if you have enough money, a lot of times you can get out of going to jail or going to jail for very long. So who knows how long she'll be there. Martin Shkreli, the big pharma bro, he went to jail for a while. But when he came out, he's still making money. He went and started up a similar thing and is just making money, just not breaking the law doing it. Here it is. Canadian-U.S. cooperation on management of used fuel. So, the United States has enough, Publius would be a better source of this, but the United States has a lot of spent nuclear fuel. And one of the things to note is that we had a nuclear laboratory in this, like, the late 60s, early 70s, that developed and had a nuclear reactor that was set up to use spent nuclear fuel. The loop of fuel, it's supposed to be enrich it, use it, and, you know, recycle it, enrich it a little bit, reuse it. Just do that over and over until you've used most of the fuel, and all that you're left with is a very small amount of highly radioactive stuff. Or it's not even highly radioactive anymore. You're just left with a small amount of stuff that's much easier to deal with. But our good friend Jimmy Carter, if I remember right, said that nuclear fuel, used nuclear fuel, spent nuclear fuel, posed too much of a risk. So they got rid of it. They said no more recycling. Anyway, what we've got here is Canada's Nuclear Waste Management Organization, the NWMO, and the U.S. Department of Energy have signed a statement of intent to cooperate on a used nuclear fuel management program. The agreement was signed at Canada's embassy in Washington, D.C. by NWMO President and CEO Lori Swamy and Assistant Secretary for Nuclear Energy at the DOE, Catherine Huff. So the statement of intent will foster information sharing on a consent-based sitting process, science and technology program. So, very cool. Security guy's coming up here to do his paperwork, I guess. It's kind of funny. It's like it comes in cycles or waves. We used to have security guys come up here all the time while we were up here. And then they stopped, and now they're back. Singapore is home to the world's largest jet fuel factory. Singapore, home to the world's largest production facility for jet fuel made from waste materials. Singapore is now home to the world's largest production facility for jet fuel made from waste materials like used cooking oil and animal fats, a significant step in the nation's drive to reduce carbon emissions. This is after Finnish energy giant Neste expanded the capacity of its Tuas South refinery as part of a 1.6 billion euro project, which began in 2019. The refinery can now produce up to 1 million tons of sustainable aviation fuel each year, 10 times the previous capacity. Production at the expanded plant, which also makes renewable diesel and renewable raw materials for polymers and chemicals, started in mid-April. It's expected to ramp up over the course of 2023. Pretty cool. I don't know if they'd call it green, though. It's like, we're taking other oil, we're taking these natural oils and converting them into fuels that we burn. So you're still, I don't know, burning stuff. I don't know. Kind of an interesting take. Well, we've got about 6 minutes to go, but I might bail out because now there's more security guards on the roof. Maybe they're mad at me for being up here. I'm up here every day. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm going to play some music, though. I'm not going to leave you just hanging. But Stug points out burning stuff is fun. Very true. I think I'm going to play a song and go down a floor or two. But don't worry. We're still hanging out. How about... Oh, here we go. Check out this slow-mo drag song called Natural Crimes.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access UNIX System.